It's time for Heat Wave Sports. Sit back and relax as you take a tour around the world of sports each and every Saturday and Sunday night. And now, your hosts for Heat Wave Sports, Tim Unglesby and Tom Barton.
Here on a Saturday night. Welcome into Heatwave Sports, Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM. Tim Unglesby, along with Tom Barton from TomBartonSports.com. This is a bit of a reunion show, though. I know this gentleman has been behind the board for a couple Heatwave Sports over the last couple years, but I believe Nick Nice with us here. I believe, Nick, this is the first time the three of us, though, have been together since you left the first time.
Oh, man. It's been, I was thinking about that on the way here. It's been actually years.
Yes.
It's been three at least years.
That's
easy.
That's crazy to think about that, though.
It is.
And I already put you to work this afternoon. I was like, can you get a couple clips for me, you know?
Oh, that's my job, man. That is no problem. That was no problem.
It's good to have you back, sir, I guess. Well, back inside Lotus, though.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. It is always great to be here. Lotus is a very loyal company. That's why they landed the Golden Knights account, because that's how we roll. We're family.
Possibly maybe the Raiders someday.
Oh, I think that's a lock. How can you not?
Yes. We'll talk a little hockey with Nick, because Nick has I heard Nick on another show, or I guess it was earlier this week. He has a bit of you're on two sides of the fence here, right? Your boys are playing our boys. But
yeah,
they're also your boys.
It's tough. 3 years ago, I guess the last time we were on, this wasn't an issue.
Yes.
You know, you didn't have to worry about any Las Vegas Golden Knights or anything like that. So, and I know they're not the Las Vegas Golden Knights, but sometimes that slips out. And then it feels awkward, too. It's like, I don't even know my own team.
I like calling them Las Vegas Golden Knights because it makes people mad.
So. yeah, so, you know, I'm torn. It's not the end of the world, and when you put things into perspective, but when you really think about it, it sucks because, yes, you are like, man, this is the team I grew up with, but the Vegas Golden Knights are like home brewed. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's a home brew, just like San Jose, but that's the story. We could get into this at another time.
We'll actually get into it a little bit later when we talk some NHL playoffs.
But thank you for the welcome back. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, sir. Let's bring in the co-host from TomBartonSports.com, Sports Garten Network, Tom Barton. Tommy, here we go. It's playoff time in the NBA. We're gonna talk about that to open the show.
Yeah, well, and I want to say hello to Nick. I didn't even realize it when he called me. I was just kind of like, hey, guys. I say, hey, guys, because whoever's calling me, I say hello to. And I didn't even realize it was Nick until now. Funny story, guys. On my show, it's so funny that you guys mentioned the Las Vegas Knights. On my show this week, I said I was doing a preview, and I talked about the Vegas Golden Knights over and over and over doing my preview with them. And at one point in my it was a two-hour, talking about them. But at one point, I said, Las Vegas, I said, they'll crucify me if I say Las Vegas. Let me correct it to Vegas. You know what I did? I got emails. I got calls. What do you mean? That's what they are. They're Las Vegas. They're the Las Vegas Knights. Why are you correcting it? And I was like, oh, boy. No, they are not. And from a place where I'm broadcasting from, I just had a slip-up, and people wanted to know why I was correcting myself calling them Las Vegas the one time. So it is kind of funny that you guys mentioned that tonight, because that happened to me this week.
It's an easy error, right? Unless you live here. Well, Nick, you just did it, so it's a very easy error.
Well, if you've lived here long enough, you get crucified the other way if you call it Vegas. By some of the old school people are like, no, it's Las Vegas. It's not Vegas. So there was a lot of controversy when the Golden Knights were named. It was like, oh, really? It's Vegas now? And, you know, it's the whole four syllables, I guess, or four words, Las Vegas Golden Knights, they said would have been too much, so that's why they broke it down to Vegas Golden Knights. But like I said, I guess if you're a true old school Las Vegan, the Vegas part, it's Las Vegas.
Yes.
Like, I'm sorry, real quick, from San Francisco, I'm from the Bay Area, like you talked about, the San Jose. If you go up there and you call it Frisco, no, you can't call it Frisco. I'm from San Jose. I didn't care. It's Frisco. You know what I mean? But no, from up there, it's the city or it's San Francisco. So some cities, just people, you know, they, I'm sure there's a whole thing with Dallas and Fort Worth. So
sure,
getting on. Reno, Vegas, Reno, all that Vegas. Good stuff.
Talk a little Reno.
Some people just have thin skin and they're snowflakes. I mean, that's.
Amen, Tom. Yes. Amen, Tom.
Tom, the NBA playoffs day one just wrapped up as San Antonio just knocked off Denver on the road 101-96 to take a 1-0 lead in that series. So, of the four matchups today, Tommy, three of the lower seeds end up with W's.
Three, all more than 2-1 underdogs. I mean, you know, big time. Underdogs, the Nets were underdogs 6.5. This game was a 6.5. Orlando, who I was on, was a 0.5-point underdog. They are they're making the playoffs a little interesting here early on. And, you know, it is funny. Year after year, you know, we've done our playoff preview. And year after year, basically what we say is, all right, guys, don't let the early playoffs kind of, you know, get to you. Because they've been horrific, Tim, right? I mean, we know at the end it was going to be LeBron against the Warriors, but the playoffs have been so bad leading up to it. Sweeps and garbage, and they were so terrible for the last couple of years in the first round leading up to what we're talking about. It was just garbage. It was just terrible, you know? So I'm glad to see that we have a little excitement here. I'm glad to see we have, you know, a little bit going on and of what the situation is. Look, you know, do I expect Philly to lose this series? No, but it gives it a little insight. Do I expect the Nuggets to lose the series? Probably not, but it gives you a little intrigue, right? It gives you just a little something to say, okay, here we go, man. You know, there's an idea here that maybe some of these lower seeds can actually pull the upset.
Except for the Clippers, 100-1 wasn't. Did you talk about this on your show back east, Tom? They were 100-1 to win the series, and you know, good start for Clipper fans. They went out and got their asses kicked today to begin the series.
Well, it's pretty funny. That's what I was going to say. You know, at the end, we know it's Warriors, and more Warriors. So it's enjoy everybody but the Warriors series because the Warriors are just going to cruise.
Steph, 38. He had 15 rebounds, too, today. So, you know, they can. You need storylines during a long NBA season. We already know that. And we'll get into the big storyline, I guess, talking about the playoffs, missing somebody here in a second. But just over the years, they have to find ways to make basketball interesting anymore. And you want to talk about where Kevin Durant's going to go or the drama inside the locker room. When it's all said and done, Tom, you know as well as I do, we're looking at Golden State on one side, we're looking at either Toronto, Milwaukee, or Boston on the other side, and may the best team win.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, Curry is that guy that every now and then you go, how are we not talking about him? Because we should be talking about him constantly. I know Durant is the story, and everybody loves Durant. I get all that. But Curry is still Curry, right? And he went out and proved it today. I put out, and I said this last week to Brian Feldman, who was filling in for you last week, and I said this on my show. So I'll ask you. The question is not if the Warriors will win, because the Warriors are going to win the championship this year. Okay, I think we all know that. Barring a massive upset, they're winning the championship with ease. So the question now becomes, how many games do they lose the entire postseason? Now, with Feldman, I set the over-under at 6. And he said, you know, I think it might go over. I rethought about that for my show, for the Sports Garden Network. I rethought about that during the week, and I said, you know, I may put it at 5, and I may go under here, Tim. Because here's my thought. They're not losing a game to the Clippers. It's just not happening, okay? Then round 2, I can't really see them losing the game, but let's give them 1 there. Then the championship game in the West, let's say they have, you know, a rough championship game and they lose 2. So that's three going into the finals. I don't think they lose a game in the finals, but even if we give them two, that's five. Tim, I'm going to tell you now, I set the over-under just for myself. I set the over-under with me and Feldman. He took over the six. I said I'm taking under the six. Tim, I'm going to ask you. Forget about six. You're not getting lucky. You're not getting lucky with my mistake line of a six. I'm moving it to five. Do you have it over under five?
And they would get what, Houston in the second round? Most likely? Is that?
Most likely, yeah.
I'll go over five, Tom. I think they have a lackadaisical game here in the second round, maybe even two. You know, they go 4-2. Say they go 4-0, 4-2, 4-2, 4-2. There's, what's that, six right there. So,
do you think they're going to lose two games in each round for the next three rounds?
Could be. It could be, right?
Could be. I'm telling you, I'm setting, if the number that I set originally at six with Brian was available, I would have taken the under. I see them at five. I'm setting the number at five. And I might be leaning the under. I think they might only lose three or four games this entire postseason. Now, I have them landing on exactly five, but I think they might lose less. If you had to give me an option of do they lose seven or do they lose four, I'm taking the four.
Think they're just going to steamroll through this then?
I just do. I really do. Here's the thing. When you look at who the Warriors are, okay, they are not losing a game to the Clippers. Then they're going to get rest. I think Houston's going to have a little bit of problem with Utah. They're a defensive team. Even if Utah only wins a game, you know, it's a physical battle. And now all we've heard pretty much since December, right, is how Houston has the Warriors' number. Houston could beat the Warriors. Houston has owned them. That's all you've heard. I think the Warriors have heard that too. And then you look at who they would face, you know, in the finals. Who's it going to be? Oklahoma City? Or, you know, teams of that nature, Portland, maybe a win. And the East, I'm sorry, the East has major, major problems. I know we will pump up Toronto and Kawhi. We'll pump up Giannis and the MVP. We will pump up, you know, the Celtics and, wow, this could be fun. We'll pump up Philadelphia, whoever gets there. The reality is this, is that they should not lose a game in the finals. That's how dominant they'll be. And they'll have that, you know, that gold piece in front of them. They'll have that idea in front of them. Oh, okay, we don't have to necessarily, you know, dominate during the regular season, but watch what we do in the playoffs. And now the finals, this is a joke. We're going to humiliate this team. I don't think they lose a game in the finals.
Of the four, would Boston be the better matchup?
I guess so. Mm-hmm. Look, you know, I got to see how Boston's playing. Boston has the better team and a coach that could go up against Steve Kerr and give him problems. But I haven't seen that team many times this year. I mean, let's just be honest. You know, in a fantasy, you know, basketball kind of situation where you're putting on paper, yeah, Boston for sure. But we haven't seen that team many times this year. I think that Toronto might win a game if Kawhi just goes crazy, and he's a really good defensive player, but I just don't see that happening. Giannis could take over a game, you know, could just completely take over and be Giannis and just be unstoppable. But that's a game. I guess Boston maybe could win two, but, I mean, this is what we're talking about. This is what I'm nitpicking here. I don't know if Boston gets out of the first round.
Yeah, it's a tough matchup with Indiana, and looking at tomorrow's games, I was going to ask you, Boston, Pacers, OKC, Portland, the Pistons, Bucks, and the Jazz and the Rockets. What game stands out to you the most as far as maybe a line that can be exposed here?
Well, you know, that the Boston line is a little inflated because it's Boston. I think that people are really, really underestimating who Indiana is. Boston owned them. They beat them four straight. But you know what? It's seven and a half is the line now. If that was a three-and-a-half-point line, which I think that's where it should be, if the Celtics weren't the Celtics, that's a three-and-a-half-point line, right? You know, four against a five seed, really close. They almost swap positions. There's no value there. So I'm going to lay off of that. You look at Milwaukee, and they're laying, 12, 13. That's a huge number. Detroit's terrible. I mean, Detroit just shouldn't even be here. It's a shame that Miami didn't get into this spot because that's what we wanted. Look, Blake Griffin will be back, but he's going to be hobbled. I hate laying the points, but that might not be a horrible... What might be the game to kind of take advantage of? That might be it, but it's a little rich for my blood. It's a little rich for my blood. So you go into the other games. Portland, OKC. Before the playoffs began, I said this is a coin flip series. To me, it's a coin flip game. I won't go anywhere near this game. I won't go. I don't think I will be on any game this entire series between these two because I like both teams a lot. I think both teams could be playing in the championship. I love both of these teams, and I think it's just too close to call. And then you got Utah and Houston. I know everybody loves Houston. I get it. But Utah is a really, really good defensive team. Did you know that the Utah Jazz held Houston to lower scoring per 100 possessions than any other team in basketball this year? They know how to play Houston. They play them well. Do I think Utah wins on the road game one against Houston? No, I don't. But I'm leaning the points. So if you really want my insight here, I guess in a coin flip game, Oklahoma City, Portland, I guess I'm leaning the points. I guess I'm leaning the points with Indiana, and I guess I'm leaning the points with Utah. So if you're asking me for the favorite, I'm only on Milwaukee, and I hesitate to lay that 12.5 or 13, whatever number they're getting out there.
I think for me, we'll see tomorrow a reverse of today. I see 3-1 or 4-0 of the favorites covering or winning. I'm sorry.
Really?
Straight up. I'm sorry.
Talk me into somebody because, I'm looking at it. I don't see necessarily distinctive. You could talk me into Portland. I told you that was a coin flip.
Right.
Do you not believe that there's an inflated line with Indiana? Maybe you still believe in Boston to win. But you have to believe that that's an inflated line, right?
I do. I think the line worries me about the 7. Obviously, worries me. I meant to say straight up. I think the home teams here either go 4-0 or 3-1.
Straight up, absolutely. Yeah, that might be not be a bad 3-team money line, right?
Yeah,
Bucks, Boston, Houston.
Houston.
Or do you really want to throw Portland in there too?
I'm with you on that because you know if George and Westbrook get going, it could be a real shootout there. So I feel the least comfortable.
And how healthy is Portland, Tim?
Yeah.
You know they've been banged up.
Question marks.
Banged up.
I do have to pat myself on the back though, Tom, because I don't do that a lot on this show. You know me, man. I just got the look from Nick, by the way. But Spurs 7 seed, correct on that? Yes.
Yes, you were, 100%.
And a friend of ours on Twitter, when the NBA season totals came out and we were just throwing it around, I believe you started the thread. We can go back and look. We were throwing around who we liked, and I said Utah over the win total. And a friend of ours laughed at me and said I was crazy, that they were terrible. I believe they went over the win total, Tom.
Yes, they did, absolutely. I like Utah as well as you did, not as much. Obviously, and that's the problem with social media these days, with texting and everything else. It's so easy to prove people, hey, look, you said this, and then what do? They go, oh, okay, and they brush it aside. But if they were right, you know that it would be plastered everywhere, right? I mean, this is the social media warriors out there that want to. It's the same guys that say, well, I have a source that's telling me that Mike Trout is definitely be signed by the Yankees, and then he doesn't get signed, and it gets buried. You don't say anything. Yeah, if you throw enough garbage against the wall. But you're right. There are people out there that really, really went after you for the Utah take. Now, I liked Utah. I didn't think they'd be this good. I liked Utah. And you're sitting here, Tim, you made me a believer. Not only did I like them during the year, I think they got a shot in the series. I don't think they get by Houston particularly, but I think they have a shot. I don't think it's going to be a 4-0 sweep, just move Houston on to the next round like everybody believes it is.
No, I think I definitely think there's a possibility of seven there, and they could pull the upset. You know, they're a 50-win team, Dom. They're not a pushover, and I like that series maybe out of all of them the most. By the way, I will say that the person that was chastising me also thought that Virginia had no business being in the NCAA finals. So take it for what you want on that one.
Oh, please. I didn't even know it was the same person. But, yeah, one of the worst takes that I've heard in sports ever came out this week with Virginia, the number one defense in the NCAA, and potentially one of the top five defenses of all time in the NCAA, a team that has lost three games in the ACC, didn't deserve to be in the finals. Ridiculous.
So the best part of the playoffs for me, and I know for you too, Tom, the best part of this NBA playoffs is there's somebody we don't have to hear about every day, even whether he played or not, whether he is an off day. LeBron James not in the playoffs for the first time in a long time, and I couldn't be happier, Tom. Not only that, but we're seeing the destruction of LeBron James already 1 year there has totally ripped apart the Los Angeles Laker franchise.
Yeah, you know, it's pretty funny. So, obviously, I schedule guests, you know, not knowing the result. Sometimes I schedule guests, you know, weeks or months in advance. So, I schedule Brian Windhorst on my show for Friday. Why? Because he just came out with a new book about LeBron, LeBron Inc., Making of the Billionaire. It's kind of the behind the scenes how LeBron, you know, became a billionaire. But I thought, wow, this will be a great interview for, you know, if LeBron makes the playoffs. But if LeBron doesn't make the playoffs, this is an even better interview, right? Mm-hmm. I had him on my show on Friday, and it is a weird situation that there is no LeBron in the playoffs. And you know what's even, it's something I brought up to my producer afterwards. I said, it's not even that LeBron's in the playoffs. And we're all like, oh, wow, we're shocked. We've had months to digest that he wasn't going to be here. So he's not even really a secondary story. It's not even somebody that we're going, well, you know, oh, man, the LeBronless. No. No, he was never going to be there. It was never close to being there. And we've got a lot of time to just sit back and say, LeBron's not here, and this is the new way to deal with it. Let's get used to it. You said it. Lakers are falling apart. Now, I will tell you, from my interview, Brian, who is as close to LeBron as you could possibly be for a reporter, Brian said, you know, I don't think he had anything to do with Magic. I disagree with that. I do. But I will say this. I will give you a little insight. You guys could go check out the interview at Sports Garten over on Twitter at sportsgarten.com, G-A-R-T-E-N. One of the things that he said to me, Tim, which was really interesting, I think you would find this very intriguing. I'm paraphrasing here, but basically, I asked him about LeBron having problems with executives, having problems with extra, you know, other players, as coaches, assistant coaches, kind of revolving the team. And he gave me two answers in one. And I believe that he was sticking up for him, and he actually wasn't when it all came said and done. He said, you know, he doesn't have as much power as people think where he says this guy has to leave or get rid of this guy. He doesn't do that to the front office. And I kind of was skeptical. I said, come on. He said, no, he doesn't want to have to do that because if it's a mistake or if they bring in the next guy, then he can't do it again. So LeBron might not have said, hey, look, this isn't working out with Magic, but he may have just kind of made it seem like it wasn't working out. He may not have said, look, you know, Luke Walton's a problem, get him out of here. But he lets people know that's how he feels without actually saying it. It's more of the politician LeBron, which I found very interesting when you think about Walton's gone, half the team is traded away, LeBron's sitting in Hollywood making movies, Magic couldn't stomach it, and now they bring in LeBron's old friend, Tyronn Lue.
Who doesn't deserve to be an NBA basketball coach. Here's my thing on the Lakers. Coming into the season, Tom, we knew LeBron was walking into basically, you were hoping that Ball and Ingram and Kuzma with LeBron would somehow spark fire and get this team at least into the playoffs, right? But they had a team filled with one-year deals, a veteran.
I told you guys that they weren't going to make the playoffs. And what did I tell you? LeBron's going to miss a big chunk of the season.
You did. You said, and if the wheels start to fall off, all of a sudden, phantom injuries would show up on LeBron. You're absolutely right about that. Why is there all this chaos at the end, though? Why? Okay, I get Walton wasn't Magic's guy, wasn't Rob Pelinka's guy, right? They came into that. I kind of saw the writing on the wall when the ownership changed anyways, that Walton would probably be made the scapegoat, which I think he's in a better situation in Sacramento anyways. But why does Magic leaving, when we knew this wasn't going to be the team the second year, with all these free agents coming out, with it being the Laker mystique, we knew they were going to try to go heavy here in the second year. Why is there all this chaos now?
You know, I'll tell you, I believe Magic Johnson. Look, I've never been a big Magic Johnson fan. You know, you had to put a line in the sand. You were a Bird or a Magic guy, right? I was a Bird guy, clearly. But I believe Magic. Now, I don't think that he told us everything, but I think he told us enough. When Magic said, you know, I need to be back to being Magic Johnson, I think there's something to that, Tim. I believe that Magic Johnson has lost himself being an executive for the Lakers. He mentioned he doesn't like the backstabbing and the tampering and all that. Magic believed, listen, I should be able to sign players based on the fact that I'm Magic Johnson. I should be able to get people to play for my team based on the fact that I'm Magic Johnson and I have LeBron James here. I should be able to talk to a player and say, come to L.A., look at the women, look at the food, look at the scenery. We got LeBron. We got Magic. I should be able to say that without turning around and getting vilified for it. And Magic Johnson has lost some of that mystique. He said, I want to go back to being Magic again. He has lost some of that mystique. The criticism, the arguments. Listen, Magic was in a no-win situation the minute LeBron got there. If LeBron took them to a championship, it was LeBron that took them there, not Magic, right? I mean, that's not Magic's doing. That's LeBron's doing. If Magic puts together a phenomenal roster, okay, makes these moves, GM of the year, it's LeBron's doing. Look, LeBron brought this guy in. Look, LeBron got that guy to come. Look, LeBron did this. If it fails, if he brings in terrible players, LeBron goes, I had no part of it, then it's Magic's problem. And I think Magic realized that. It might not be a direct problem with LeBron James, the person. It might be with, hey, there's no upside for me here. There's no longer an upside for Magic Johnson in L.A. and part of the Lakers. And think about that statement, Tim. Think about that statement that LeBron James has made it so there's no upside for Magic to be connected to the Lakers. Now he's connected to the Dodgers. He puts together, you know, a Dodgers championship, people applaud Magic. They love Magic in L.A., even though he probably doesn't have most of the decision-making there. But they love him there. But it, for the Lakers, it's now all LeBron. Everything LeBron touches becomes LeBron, for good or for bad. Most of the time for bad. And I do think that there's something to be said for LeBron James coming in there, choosing the Lakers for non-basketball reasons. I said this when he was hired. I asked Brian Windhorst on this about this on Friday, who completely agreed with me. LeBron James did not go to the Lakers because he loves the Lakers. LeBron James didn't go to the Lakers because he thought that that was the best basketball move. LeBron James went to the Lakers because he's thinking about his next career. And that was my problem with LeBron James throughout his entire career. I don't care who you are, he's always looking at the bigger, better deal. He's in Cleveland. He was looking, let me start a super team in Miami. He's in Miami. Well, I'm going to go back home. Even if you think it was for good reasons, he was already, his mindset was out of Miami. When he went back home, we all knew he's going to win a championship and he's going to bolt. We know what he's doing. And right now, LeBron James is in the mindset of basketball is my secondary option. I'm bigger than the game. You could hear it by his moronic and idiotic political stances that he takes. Why does he take those political stances? Because he thinks he's important. He thinks his opinion means something, and it matters. So this is who LeBron is. He is maybe not a bad guy, but he's a hard guy to be around. He's a hard guy to play with. He's a hard guy to have in your circle. He's a hard guy to have in that building. And even if you're Magic Johnson, he's a guy, hard guy to have part of your franchise.
Yeah, here's the thing. You said when we started talking about the Lakers and Magic, when we were growing up, you're right. You were a Bird guy or you were a Magic guy. I lived on the West Coast. I was a Bird guy. It was tougher for me, Tom, right? It was tougher for me. But I know I've watched Magic Johnson for 30 years. I know him. He's always in business for himself. We know that. LeBron James, in business for himself. Like you just broke down, his move to L.A. is for the future. And it might truly feel this, that he will never win a title with the Lakers. I don't think LeBron James. He might not ever win another title, period.
So
to be Magic Johnson, and this is my complete thought on this, is that, like you said, him in an executive role never really worked out, right? He was terrible as a head coach, terrible the two times he's been in Laker front offices. But he'll always be Magic Johnson to Laker fans and people in Los Angeles. He'll always be that face. He'll always be charismatic guy, Showtime. They'll never forget what he did for that city, that state, and the NBA back in the 80s and 90s. And then on top of that, the AIDS awareness, him re-urbanizing the development there in LA and bringing in these shopping malls and movie theaters and restaurants. You know, he did a lot of things for the city of Los Angeles. So when I see him do something like this just out of the blue, in my mind, it's like, I don't want to be attached to somebody that's not going to do anything here, because it's going to bring me down. I'm Magic Johnson. I want to be bigger than LeBron James. I'm always going to be bigger than LeBron James. And if LeBron James doesn't bring a title here, and you said it best, if he does, everybody's going to say it's LeBron. Magic gets nothing for that, but he gets it if they lose. So in my mind, it's Magic Johnson being in business for himself. And he's better off, Tom, being an analyst on TV, going out and doing the public appearances. He's better off that way. I think he should probably just stay away from the basketball operational side of things.
He's better off being Magic.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, he just is. I mean, Magic being Magic is, you know, couldn't you see him in these Charles Barkley commercials with Spike Lee and whatnot?
Absolutely.
You know, he's like, you know, be Magic. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. And be Mr. L.A. You're still part of the Dodgers. It's not like you're out of the public light. There is, when you're in a position, whether it be, you know, a basketball executive, a sports radio host, or a bartender, right? When you're in a position where there's no longer an upside for you and you can only see middle ground, get out. Get out. No matter how hard you work, no matter what you do, no matter how much blood, sweat, and tears you put into this, you'll never get the recognition or the acknowledgement, and you can only be yelled at a job or fired from a job or criticized at a job. Get out. What are you in it for if there's no upside? And there's no upside for Magic. None. Absolutely none right now. And that's a ridiculous statement to think. By the way, don't think for 1 minute, and you Laker fans, I want to hear from you. 876-1340, 876-1340. My next statement is for you Laker fans out there, and I'm sure you guys are going to say, no, 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 no. And I'm telling you, yes, yes, yes. Do not for 1 second think that Magic Johnson all along was a little isolated. You got to remember that these superstars, they're isolated from the conversations because they have, yes, been around them for, in Magic's case, 40, 50 years, right? Of you're the best, you're the best, you're the best. Don't think it doesn't bother Magic that people walked into LeBron and started saying, oh, maybe he's the greatest Laker of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Magic's going, are you kidding me? Okay, first of all, Magic was a better player than LeBron could ever hope to be, number one. Number two, he's been here for an L.A. minute, right? And people were saying it. I mean, you saw it. Where is LeBron going to rank on the all-time list? As a true great, you've got to be kidding me. You've got to be rolling your eyes. And think about, ladies and gentlemen, put yourself in just that position, even at your job, at whatever job that you do. Imagine you are the best at your job. You are the head server or, you know, the head dealer at there. You know, you're the best radio host. You are whatever you want to be. You're the best at that. somebody brand new walks in from another position, and they start saying, oh, yeah, this guy's the best, and he's done nothing. Takes off all the time, takes sick pay, doesn't do anything, messes up on his job, but he's living off of a name that he never acquired there. Don't think for one second that that didn't irritate Magic.
I agree. And we always talk about brands, right, Tom? And we talk about the business. Here's the thing. Magic Johnson doesn't need the NBA anymore. He doesn't need the Lakers anymore. He's his own brand. And I think
he hasn't needed them since he retired.
No. I think maybe he, maybe Jeannie Buss, their friendship, she reached out to him and said, hey, I need some help. And once he got into it, he just figured, this isn't going to work out. I need to go now. You know, his guy's still there, though. Him and Pelinka are still close, so I think maybe he set it up for his friend to get the job, too. I don't know, Tom. You know, I don't know the back-end deals. I just know that he didn't need to be there, and now he can go back being behind the scenes with the Dodgers and hopefully taking him to another World Series.
So let me ask you this, because I think you know where I stand on it. But I want to ask you, I'll ask everybody that's out there, okay? Is the playoffs for somehow or another diminished because LeBron isn't there? For me, not even a little bit. Not even a little. I don't miss him. It doesn't matter to me. He's not the story. Look, I don't like Tiger Woods, but when Tiger Woods isn't at the Masters and Tiger Woods isn't at, you know, Pebble Beach, I understand that it's a little bit of a drop-off. And you kind of miss Tiger, even to root against him, which I do. I root against Tiger. But there's a little bit of drop-off. I have no feeling one way or the other about LeBron. And maybe because it's taken so... I've known for a couple of months that he wasn't going to be in the playoffs. You know, maybe it's taken its toll. But there's zero feeling one way or the other. I'm not happy. I'm not sad. I don't miss him. I don't miss rooting against him. I'm kind of just sitting here going, okay, whatever. LeBron's on the playoffs. No big deal for me. It doesn't change my opinion of the NBA playoffs at all.
Oh, no, it's a beautiful thing. No, a LeBron-free player. I haven't even seen him on, you know, I figured they'd roll him out for some analysis work here. I haven't seen that yet either, so hopefully that stays that way.
You know, LeBron's not going to do anything unless you pay him. So I'm not sure if they're going to deal out some money for him to come on and analyze games. And he'll charge more than anybody should be charged, don't you think?
Yeah.
A little expensive to be LeBron.
Absolutely. Tim Unglesby, Tom Barton, it's Heatwave Sports here on a Saturday night. When we come back from the timeout, we'll go from the NBA playoffs to the NHL playoffs. Some surprises so far here, including a team that I think Tom is a fan of. At least he's going to make it prevalent if they can go on and get through this series. We'll talk about that on the other side of it. It's Heatwave Sports, Fox Sports Radio.
Kuznetsov waiting back of the cage. Mrazek down on a knee as the pass comes out. They score! Brooks Orpik! And the Caps lead 2-0.
Action from today's game 2, Caps Hurricanes, the defending Stanley Cup champ. I love saying that. The defending Stanley Cup champions take a 2-0 lead in that series. Tom, it's been an interesting first round of playoffs so far. Let's start with the team that I know you represent, the New York Islanders, Tom. New coach, former coach of the Caps, and he's put a 2 spot on the Penguins here after 2 games.
Yeah, listen, you know, I'm not an Islander fan, but I'm on the Islander Network. We are literally leading to the pregame every day that they're on. So, you know, my show is you know, ends at 6 o'clock. The pregame comes on, you know, right after me. I've had to follow the Islanders, and people are calling it the best story in hockey this year. I don't think that there's any question about it. Look, Vegas fans are often isolated, like every other fan that's out there. Many people are isolated, and last year the Vegas Golden Knights story was remarkable. It was one for the ages. The Islanders' story is pretty remarkable this year, actually. When you think about how bad they were last year, then they lose a guy like John Tavares, and you have a bunch of no-names on the team doing what they're doing. Now they're up 2-0 to a team that has made 13 straight playoff appearances. You know, the Islanders haven't hosted a playoff series since the 80s. I mean, you know, it's ridiculous here, Tim. It's 2-0. And the Islanders won the first two games with everything that the Islanders have been this year, which is grind it out, play tough, you know, barely get by, but get by. And that's the key here. They have the best defense in the NHL. Statistically speaking, that's not hyperbole. That is statistics, guys. The best defense in the NHL. Their goalies are very good, and they're kind of peaking at the right time. The Islanders let up 44 shots on goal. That was the most shots on goal they let up since October 4th. But their goalies, Robin Lehner, has stopped 73 of 77 shots. I mean, he's seen a ton of shots. And you're thinking, wow, this defense, what it is they give you bad angle shots, Tim. They give you bad angle shots. They give you shots that, you know, aren't bounce backs. They're not off the goalie. They're weird angles. You're hoping for something. So you see the stat sheet, but it's a lot. The defense has played well. I'm not going to say great. They played well. The goalie has stood on his head. And the Islanders are in a position to move on in the playoffs against a Penguins team that I came out here and I said, I actually think that the Penguins might be in the championship. That's how much that they were streaking going into this. Now, they have time to turn it around. Tomorrow's game is vital. And oh, by the way, it is a 9 a.m. start in Vegas. It is a noon start on a Sunday here in New York, you know, which is very, very early for any hockey game anytime. So they're going to have to win. The series isn't over, but it is trending in the direction of going, wow, we really have to start buying into these Islanders. It's not just a, hey, they're happy to be here story.
I look at, and when you really look, you know, we talk on the baseball side, we're always like NL Central, right? Possibly three teams could come out of that division again and make the playoffs. And really, when you look at the NHL this year in the Metro Division, Tom, the four teams coming out of that division, Caps, Canes, Islander, Penguins, there was a five-point differential between Washington and Carolina. Columbus, which was the fifth team, grabbed the wild card. They were only a point behind Carolina, so 6 points between the five teams. And oh, by the way, that Columbus team, Tom, 2-0 lead over the best team in the regular season, the Tampa Bay Lightning, right now.
Making me sick to my stomach. I gave out a play. I give out a free play every single week at Sports Garden on my show, okay? Every single Friday I give out a play. This is the first time in my story, 20-some-odd year radio career, you can hear the sarcasm in my voice, but in my 20-year radio career, first time I've ever given out a hockey play as my best play of the week. There was no way, no how, no chance the Tampa Bay Lightning were losing game two. I have nothing to say. I'm stunned. I have completely and utterly been wrong about the Tampa Bay Lightning. I just did not see this coming. I knew Columbus was no ordinary A seed. I get that. Okay. I didn't buy into it. I could not believe what Tampa Bay looked like. And listen, game one was over. I was watching that game. There was a shorthanded breakaway that the Lightning just do so well, you know, shorthanded by himself, breakaway, easy goal, 3-0, game's over. I walked inside. I started kind of doing other things. I was hanging out with my kids. All of a sudden, I look at it was 3-1. All right, no problem. 3-1 with, you know, like 13 minutes left. 3-2. It's still no problem. You know, they're at home. It got to 3-3. I said, I got to go in the back and watch this. And from that moment on, because I admittedly missed two goals, from that moment on, I have watched every minute, and I have been disgusted at Tampa's play. It's not that I'm so impressed with Columbus. I don't mean to take anything away from Columbus, okay? But obviously, I'm invested, you know, emotionally and financially here, where this is as much about Columbus playing well, which they did, but this Tampa Bay team looks lifeless. Mm-hmm. They looked, in game one, they looked like, we're up 3-0, it's just another blowout, no problem. And I almost gave him a mulligan for that. I said, all right, look, any team that has one of the greatest regular seasons of all time can get a little lackadaisical on the ice, and you go, okay, we're going to beat these guys. But to do it in game two, not show up on your home ice, I'm stunned. Absolutely stunned.
Game two, game, didn't that go off over $3?
Yeah, and it was 3-0 before I blinked, and every time Tampa Bay kind of came back, they scored a goal, and 2 minutes later, they scored again. And the best power play in the NHL belongs to Tampa. The best power play in the NHL, they're not even getting shots off, man. They weren't even getting shots off, Tim. It's not it. They just look lifeless. They look terrible.
Give me the better play than tomorrow. Do you like the Islanders on the road at Pittsburgh plus 175, or do you like Tampa on the road at Columbus minus 130?
I don't think I like either. I actually like Pittsburgh. I do like Pittsburgh tomorrow. The home ice advantage in this series, for the last like 5 years between, you know, the Islanders and Pittsburgh have been extraordinary. You go back 10 years, and the home ice is just massive. Pittsburgh's a veteran team. They're a veteran team that is at home. I do expect them to win, but I can't lay that with this hot Islander team. I'd love to just double up on Tampa Bay and keep doubling up, right, and say it just can't happen. I have zero faith in this team, Tim. Zero faith right now. I am disgusted. I'm sick to my stomach at this team. If you're looking at this in a capsule, I have to pull back. And this is what handicapping is. I talk about it all the time on TomBartonSports.com. TomBartonSports.com, I tell you guys, you know, listen, I'll tell you my fault. This is a game that I do not go near because I'm emotionally too involved. I think this team sucks. I don't think they score another goal for the rest of the season. Okay, I mean, that's where I am with this team. Now, I know I'm overreacting, but you also have to say to yourself, Columbus is at home. They've looked like the massively dominant team for the last four quarters. Three periods from last game and the third in game one. They've massively superior, and they're getting money. I mean, to me, there's no good bet there. Now, I might be too emotional. People will load up. I bet you there's a lot of people that are loading up on Tampa at minus 130 tomorrow, I'm sure. But I'm so disgusted with this horrible, horrible team that I can't. I just can't do it.
Tom, let me give you hopefully a piece of deja vu here. Last year in round one, Columbus took the first two games from Washington in Washington. The Caps needed an overtime goal in game three to get off the schneid, and the rest is history.
You know, I always tell you, you know, if you can make an argument to me, I'm willing to listen. If you want to tell me that you know, Tampa Bay outscores, you know, Columbus in the next four games, you know, like 15-3. I believe it. I just can't. Not from what I saw. Game one, I was willing to deal with it. You cannot come out lifeless in game two. And if they lost game two, you know, 4-3, but it was a tight game throughout, Tim, it wasn't tight. They came out of that locker room lifeless. And I'll tell you, I follow, you know, the Tampa Bay Twitter feed, and people are just destroying the head coach. They are absolutely just, you know, saying he was unprepared, completely out of his element. These are people that are watching every day. They don't like the line changes. That now you look at it, and Stamkos, he might not be in there. Stamkos might not play tomorrow. How can you go near this if you're looking at? I mean, is it wrong to say their best player? I mean, one of their two best players is going to be out of this game. I can't go anywhere near them tomorrow.
Yeah, that's the best thing about betting, isn't it? The theories on both sides. I've heard the wounded dog theory for Tampa all day. That I've heard the must win. I've heard it all. But you're right. Sometimes you want it to be a certain way because of the investment you have put in it.
This is a wait and see game for me. You know, just wait and see. I might play in game. Mm-hmm. You know, I might go in game tomorrow. But this is a wait and see game to me. You know, if the Tampa Bay Lightning are down going into the second quarter, their season's over.
Final in Calgary. This one just went final, actually, in overtime. The Avalanche steal game two from Calgary. They win 3-2. That series tied at one. Other action today, Nashville ties their series with Dallas at one game apiece, a 2-1 overtime victory. And the Bruins get game number two at home over Toronto, 4-1. That series also tied at 1. And Tommy, you heard it at the, well, coming back from the break, Washington overtime goal, 4-3 win over Carolina. They take a 2-0 lead heading to Carolina on Monday.
Can you believe I got the Caps for the series minus only 150? I love that. I grabbed them for the series. And how about Ben Bishop? Yeah, I actually picked Dallas just on pure value in game one because this guy stands on his head. And today he loses, and he still looked tremendous in the loss. I wish Dallas just had a little bit more because he might be playing as well as any goalie in the NHL right now.
Okay, what about the one here in town? Game 3 tomorrow night. In fact, you can throw the programming note up right now. We're not going to be on tomorrow night because of the Vegas Golden Knights home playoff game. Game 3, San Jose comes to town, Tom. Knights were able to even that series with a 5-3 win last night in San Jose. So here we go. Game 3 should be a good one.
It should be a good one. I see a lot of people on San Jose. A lot of people now. One of the reasons why I was worried about this Vegas team, this series, I did have them going forward, but one of the reasons I was worried about them because they cannot win away from home, right? They were about 500. I think they were a game over 500 on the year away. They stole one in San Jose. I expect that place to be rocking tomorrow. I expect that place to just be on another level. And I think Vegas gets by because of their home ice. But I will tell you, there's a lot of people that I respect in this business that like San Jose tomorrow, plus the money.
Mr. Nick Nice, need your thoughts on this one. Now, I'm not sure, I haven't looked recently, but for a long time, your profile picture on your social media was the logo for the San Jose Sharks.
It was actually a crying Jordan.
Ah, yes.
It was a the crying Jordan meshed into the front of the Sharks' face. So it was like a shark crying Jordan.
What do you do here? I know you want the Sharks to win this series. You got to go with the team that you grew up with. But are the Vegas Golden Knights pulling at your heartstrings a little bit after what happened last year?
Well, it's just tough because, you know, like you said, it's from a childhood thing. But at the same time, you want the team that you live with now to succeed. So I am truly torn. The only deciding factor here is, had Vegas been around for at least maybe like 5, 6, 7, 10 years, maybe that they, you know, had sort of made progress, and year by year, it was like, oh, okay, we're like, you know, we're sub 500. Now we're 500. Now we're above 500. Now we made the playoffs. Now we made it to the second round of the playoffs. You know, kind of like a lot of teams have had to struggle over the years, expansion teams and such, but They set the bar so ridiculously high that we've never seen before that it's hard to even really comment on what we're seeing. So the fact that I have the two teams here both within my interest, I hate to say it, but it's just like the Vegas fan base. Has been so spoiled, basically, and it's like they need to get in line and wait.